final conversation, you know, those are always, I think, difficult for, you know, for both sides, because you put so much time and energy and emotion into it. And I haven't had a chance to speak with Paul, but you know, I know it was a very difficult decision, you know, for him, given the length of time that we, you know, talked about things. And you know, that's again, when I talked to you guys last week, I said that, you know, that was, you know, something that we would potentially hope would come together, but we knew it would, you know, come with some challenges. And, you know, we were able to cross the first hurdle and try and create the ability even just to speak with him, you know, when we made the move to clear some cap space. And then, you know, there was, if we were fortunate enough to have gotten him, there would have been a lot more surgery that would have been needed on the roster as well. So it was never never a situation about willing to, you know, pay or do anything like that. It was what we were able to do. And while we offered, you know, the same term, it obviously wasn't the same money.
Do you feel comfortable with your internal candidates, at least at this point, to fill that void?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, again, I don't know if there's a lot of people, quite honestly, thought that there was even a chance that, you know, we were going to be able to do bring back Paul when, you know, the season ended. We had a great conversation. You know, he obviously expressed his willingness and desire to, you know, if we could make it work, to come back. But when it's all said and done, you guys are going to look at the, you know, the salary cap and the roster, and you're going to say, okay, how were they going to do this anyway? You know, so again, we've got a good group of guys here, and we've got lots of work ahead of us on, you know, on our RFAs, and you know, that's where things pick up on July 2nd.
How hard was it, Kevin, then to you know, you two guys you're saying goodbye to in State Mason, and particularly Joel Armia?
Yeah, well, you know, again, very professional guys. You know, certainly had conversations with both of them when, you know, picked up the phone and told them, you know, what was going on. You know, and again, there's the, you know, the hockey's a great game, but can be an awful business sometimes. That's a saying that's out there, maybe a little more explicit when it's behind closed doors about what, you know, what the business can be like. But that's, you know, tough realities. And you know, we created, you know, some opportunities for us to be able to have some flexibility here moving forward in getting our, deal signed, which again, when you're sitting here today, you've, you know, you're putting those numbers in pencil until, you know, you go through whatever kind of process of negotiation or arbitration or, you know, whatever it is, and then they get put in pen. So, you know, again, there's lots of prognostication on how those contracts do come in, and, you know, there's term and money and all the things that come into play. So you have to make some tough decisions.
Watching today, a lot of goaltenders' names coming off the boards, but you had did you have something worked out with Laurent quite a bit earlier, and that wasn't a big there wasn't any kind of panic for you guys today?
No, we had some conversations. You know, I guess this week has been a very unique week. It's you know, it's evolved over the course of time from a talking period to a more than talking period, and it's been interesting. So we've had some conversations. It really all kind of, you know, came to fruition, you know, essentially in the last, you know, 24 hours with Laurent. But again, we, you know, the conversations internally, you know, were, you know, if we had to go down the path of something with, you know, moving a goaltender out to create some space, who would we want to look at? And we had extensive conversations with our goalie, you know, goalie coach and both goalie coaches. And, you know, Laurent's name was, you know, something that was very intriguing to us. And then obviously, you know, we need to, you know, be cognizant of what, you know, what kind of cap implications that it would have.
Last point on the goaltenders then, do you see an opportunity for him and Eric to really battle for a backup role? Is that the two you're sort of wrestling in?
This game is all about competition, and Eric is, you know, has you know, competed over the last couple of years, got experience, and you know, they're both gonna, you know, compete, you know, certainly for, you know, whatever they're gonna get at training camp.
Kind of on that same idea, Kevin, then, just competition's good going into training camp after the success that your club was able to have this year, both throughout the regular season, then as deep as you went in the playoffs?
Well, competition's always, you know, essential, you know, again, there's everybody's kind of one more year experience, and I think, you know, they're going to, you know, hopefully use the, you know, the time throughout the summer to, you know, help us have some more difficult problems when it comes time to for training camp itself. Christian Vesalainen is, obviously we need to get a contract completed with him, but came over here to development camp. You can tell, he's a much more mature person. He's he's a big body. He can skate. Playing over in the Finnish men's league over there and having a great season. Yes, it's exciting. When you see another young player that can make an impact. So there's lots of competition. Some players from the Moose. Certainly. Sami Niku, Mason Appleton, getting accolades for their, for their rookie seasons. And I am sure when they come to training camp, they're going to want to make a statement of their own.
You talked about the unique week for you being, it's new, obviously. Do you prefer it?
Yeah, it is what it is.
Just with the Brossoit thing,
well, not specifically with Connor. Fortunately, they share the same, same representative. So it's, something that, again, we're familiar with, with the representative and the conversations, obviously, that we're having, with Helly. And Wade Flaherty, knows the goalie as well from, from the summer training and the different things that that Connor was doing. So, there's a good familiarity within our organization.
Brian Burke on one of the free agency shows had said one of your problems is that you've been too good at your job, that you're constantly finding too good of players. Could you talk a little bit about the balance that you have to strike between finding these young players who are coming up and being so successful to the point that at some point you got to pay them and start trying to put this puzzle together that you are obviously in the middle of?
Well, and I don't know that that's ever, considered a bad problem. It's, we're in a point in time here where, I keep talking about going back, when we played in 2015 in the playoffs and Mark Scheifele got one assist or something like that in the playoffs, and then you see how much of a driver he is right now. You see what, the players that were young back then at 21 are now 25, and you've got a good group of 20, 21, 22-year-old players that just went through a very rigorous, experience in three rounds of the playoffs, and they're going to be better for it. And, obviously, when you have good young players, it gives opportunities. But at the end of the day, the biggest thing, I was reminded of the fact even walking over here, Josh Morrissey became Josh Morrissey because of the opportunity that he got and what he earned in training camp. And, we're in a real good spot because Josh Morrissey has developed to where he is. So Christian Vesalainen, Nikolai Ehlers, you got to have coaches that are willing to play these guys when they're young and give them opportunities. And back several years ago, that's all we had. That's all we could do was play those young guys and let them grow and have our lumps with them. But now you've got a core of veterans. You've got a core of middle age, kind of veterans, and then you've got a core of young guys, and they're all kind of moving in the same direction, so that's pretty exciting.
Players like Nick Ehlers and Brian Little, you like to get your business with them out of the way a little bit early. Having a player that you wanted and losing him to the lure of other teams at free agency, does it affect in any way how you approach your dealings with Blake Wheeler since he's heading into the last year of his contract?
Well, it was a different situation, with Paul. Paul wasn't someone that, you sat there and you said, we're going to, just mark it in your calendars here. We're going to have Paul Stastny in our midst here, come trade deadline. So, there is a certain element of realism as to knowing the challenges that you have in front of you with respect to the cap and obviously when the cap was set at what it was, those realities stepped right to the forefront, and you start to make some long-term decisions based off of that. And again, with what transpired over here in the last couple of days, we put our best foot forward, and we put maybe even 6 inches beyond our best foot to make sure that we would have no regrets if it wasn't good enough. Because there was, at the end of the day, there was just a reality that of what we could or couldn't do given the good problems that we have in front of us in keeping this solid team together.
So the uncertainty with the cap, not knowing what it'll be next year, how difficult does it make it to create a long-term plan in the case of someone like Blake Wheeler? I guess what question I'm trying to get at, or one of them I'm trying to get, is do you plan on trying to get something done with Blake? Would that be your expectation to try and get something like that done this summer?
Well, we're going to have conversations. And, fortunate thing that I had, I just went through, obviously, with Paul, is that, Blake and Paul shared the same agent. So there's, lots of mutual conversations that go on there. But, it's all in due course. And for us, we've got a plan and we're going to work at executing it.
Does make it a little bit more challenging, though, given the Tavares sweepstakes, to see how, Blake hasn't been with the Jets his whole career, but it would be more similar to that than to Stastny. I mean, where it goes to the last minute and you kind of don't know if you're in or out. Is there some fear of it lingering on?
That's really not even in our consideration right now. When the opportunity is right here, once we get things going and have some conversations, then, we're confident that we should be able to come to a good agreement.
There'll be some disappointment amongst your fans today on the Paul Stastny situation, but looking ahead, do you have anything you can offer them on where you are with your RFAs, like Connor Hellebuyck and Josh Morrissey and Jacob Trouba?
Well, again, really the statements aren't much different than I have in the past. Like, I can't comment on the individuals because there's so many individuals, but there's steps along the way in the process, and everyone knows them. We're becoming a mature organization and a mature market to understand. Every summer there's July 1st, and every summer there's arbitrations, and every summer you go through the different processes of things. So again, some guys are arbitration eligible. We'll find out in X amount of days. I think it's the 5th. If they file or not, but. There's different conversations that you have in passing with agents, at the draft, and say, okay, well, we'll pick them up on July 2nd, or we'll pick them up, after the week goes by, type thing, because this week is a lot more about what's free and available, and lots of focus is put on that, but you're always kind of chipping away at various different levels and of your RFA type of situations.
Mentioned that if you had got Paul Stastny re-signed, I think you used the term surgery, more surgery might have been required. So with Paul Stastny not signing, are you confident that you won't have to do any additional surgery to this lineup to get your RFAs under contract?
So the only, caveat I go back to is there's, the numbers we project are in pencil. When you go through the negotiation process, it can be a function of, term and different things like that. So you may be shocked. We may get into a negotiation and find there's a term deal now that, we'd rather be doing than a shorter term deal. And maybe, the numbers in the spreadsheet change a little bit. So I don't anticipate, from that standpoint that, additional surgery would be needed. But, again, when you see the number, when you see the whole thing, come together, and you guys can, you're all good at math. Maybe not. So, we feel like we're in a good spot with our projections.
Just last one from me, but of all the things on your to-do list, where would extending Patrick Laine this summer be on that list? Is that a priority, or is that something that maybe gets pushed to the side?
It's always a priority. You're always thinking of all these things, whether it's whether it's Wheels or whether it's Patrick, or again, there's guys that are under contract that are extension eligible, I guess, now, but there's rules that you got to try and follow. There's tagging rules in the CBA that you have to make sure you don't run afoul of when you talk about doing multi-year deals and having enough on the books and stuff like that. So it's much more than just straight X and Y type thing. Here it is. Here's your contract. Here's your money. Let's go. Let's move on. So you got to make sure that you don't ever box yourself into something that you're going to pay for in the long run.
Chevy, training camp's a long ways away, but is there any comfortability of putting Jack Roslovic up the middle and get a look at him, how he fared there?
Yeah, Jack played center, you know, with the Moose, you know, pretty much most of the year. Jack played, you know, in the U.S. National Development Program. He played center really prior to, you know, playing wing on, you know, Tkachuk and Matthews line, with Tkachuk and Matthews. So, you know, again, there's lots of options there, you know, for Paul to, you know, to mix and match. And you know, Jack, you know, we all saw, like, you know, he brought, you know, great energy and skill to our lineup, and he's made great strides. So, it'll be a good opportunity for him.
What do you like about the depth pieces you brought in from Bourque to Griffith and Everbury? We saw a little bit of them, obviously, what you had in Schilling, but do you speak a little bit about what those guys bring to the organization?
Well, it brings, you know, obviously they bring some additional depth, and they, Everberg has played, you know, in the league, can play left side, right side, you know, coming back from Europe, you know, he's been over here once, and you know, give it another go here to see if, you know, it works for him. Schilling, obviously, we know, you know, from an organizational standpoint, real comfortable, you know, having him as a player that, you know, we feel confident if we need him to play games, can play games. Griffiths gives us, you know, some good skill, you know, some different options, you know, in how to, you know, if we do need different call-up players. And I mentioned, you know, guys, you know, like Mason Appleton, and there's Lemieux, and there's Patan, and there's Dano, that, you know, Niku, they're all young players that, again, you know, going back to development camp last week, like, some of our driving players right now, that's where it all started. Now we've got, you know, a group of, you know, guys that are might be chomping at the bit here at the American League side that, you know, could surprise you at training camp as well. Yeah, so Cardillas is obviously got some experience, you know, in the league, and you know, sometimes, you know, when you change scenery and get a little bit of a fresh start, you know, they can kickstart some things.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.